Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, come on in. Don't oil that door. Don't oil that door. We're keeping it just the way it is. Come on in to Erie House and join us for some good radio. I'm Dale Key from Spook Show, here along with...
With firecrackers in my shorts, I'm Dave Bigley from the Wind. It's a really bad movie, but I promise not to set them off.
Yeah, don't do that. Can you imagine going to the hospital? Wait a minute, you lit firecrackers in your pants?
Yeah.
Get out of my hospital.
Hey, Dale. I was looking up a few things today, and I saw in 2012, the big baby boom, San Diego fireworks show experienced an unknown glitch that caused all the fireworks to explode at once. Thousands of spectators who were expecting a 20-minute show retreated to a 30-second grand explosion instead. Wow.
Nice.
You got time to go out and then get in trouble after that. But you know what that means, Dale, by having something like that? It means I have not one, I have not two, but I will have 12 firework fact Dave facts for tonight's show as we are celebrating 4th of July with fireworks.
And fireworks are so much fun. Of course, there's always the 4th of July, and then if maybe you're the daring type, you'll go out and buy some of your own little fireworks. But a very, very special person in my life made the most of fireworks the goal, and he would blow up models and pumpkins and T-shirts and everything. Everything and anything he could blow up, Ron Sweet the Ghoul would do it.
And yet fireworks in Ohio are illegal, as we know. You cannot purchase and do fireworks. You can do specialties and you can do sparklers, but that's it.
Oops.
You must raise your left hand and swear you will not set them off in Ohio when you buy them in Ohio from an Ohio company.
They didn't ask anymore. They didn't ask
for
that phantom.
Yeah.
It's like, really? You're going to force me to lie? Come on. Oh, my gosh.
You know,
you would not believe the money people spend on these fireworks. I mean.
Oh, it is unbelievable, yeah.
We spent combined, my son and I, probably about 70, 80 bucks. Okay? That's quite a bit of money.
Yeah, okay.
There were people rolling out of there with shopping carts full of, it had to be at least $500 to $1,000 worth of big, huge display-type fireworks.
You know what I say about that, Dale? I'm glad they're not my neighbor. No, thank you.
Well, I should hope most of those people at least live way out in the country and have a lot of property, because there is quite, you realize I live out in the country, there is quite a bit of that where people have huge fields. This year was ideal for fireworks because it was a little damp, you know. There was been a little rain on and off in Northeast Ohio. So, I mean, as far as safety factors and not starting fires, that was huge. Having it being a little damp. So we went berserk.
Yeah, this year wasn't as bad because we have had so much rain. But normally it's pretty dry at 4th of July, and you really got to be careful of that stuff. You really do.
You do. There's a huge field by us, but there's lots of dry grasses there, and that's the worst kind. Once one of those gets started, you can tear down a whole woods, and there's so much wildlife here. I'd hate to see that happen. So we do take safety measures when we're misbehaving, as it were.
Yep. But yep, hey, and Fallen Rain has joined the group, and more will be coming along, I'm sure. as we have celebrate the 4th of July weekend here with yet another CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah, it's a good one. Wind and Dingo. An interesting name, Dave. I'm thinking there's some Native American roots to that title.
There is. It's an ancient Indian, I don't want to say, maybe like a spirit, not God, a spirit of justice. And this story takes place during the Revolutionary War, so it all kind of ties together now, doesn't it?
Yes, it'll be an interesting story. It always is with CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and I'm hoping this is one of the episodes hosted by E.G. Marshall, because he's just so damn good.
Yeah, it is. Back to 1975, and I tell you what, I did some looking at this particular episode. Always been a favorite of mine. It was one that my brother and I were able to stay up for in this area. They were on at about 10:05, and so we weren't supposed to be up yet, but we were, and I'm sure our parents knew we were. But this one was just a really, really neat story, and I read comments on it, and a lot of people don't like it. But all I can say to that is, in the mortal words of Nero Wolfe, "Fooey." This is a show that I think it really works. I think it's a cool show, and I don't know what people expected out of it, but it's like Three Row Roses. It had more negative comments than it did positive. Well, I didn't really see any positive comments on this one at all, but I'm telling you, Dale, this is a show I really liked.
You don't have to sell me too hard, because you know I love this particular series, and I fancy myself a bit of a patriotic guy, so I think that I know I will enjoy it. I hope that you do too. I hope that you, listener, and you all had a nice, safe Halloween, also a safe 4th of July. Oh my, a few months off there. You know where my mind is at.
No wonder your sugar's up, Dale.
Yes, it is. Safe 4th of July. Count all your fingers. Make sure they're there, you know. as we get ready to share yet another terrific tale.
Absolutely. It's a... Again, it was a 75. It was the second year of Mystery Theater, and it's one I really like. I guess, you know, because I always enjoy stories, and this is kind of, without being technically about history, was during a historical time. It does have some actual names of people, and could it have happened? Well, we'll find out at the end of the episode, but it's kind of a neat thing. And yes, the one and only E.G. Marshall is back, along with Jack Grimes and Mason Adams, Court Benson, Earl Hammond, Brian Rainburn, they're all right there in this episode.
Excellent. Quality actors, quality program, should be a good time. But before I ask you for an original broadcast date, Dave, we do have Firecracker Facts, Dave Facts.
We do.
Well, what do you say?
Yep, we have three sets of four. Okay, so here we go with first set here. Firework crack. Firework fact. On a typical 4th of July, approximately 2 out of 5 reported fires are caused by fireworks. Day fact. See, you should have listened to Smokey the Bear. Firework fact. In the U.S., sparklers account for 41% of emergency room firework injuries. Additionally, sparklers account for 79% of injuries to children under 5 years old. Dave fact. See? Sparklers bad. And maybe he's good. Firework fact. While China invented the first firework itself, Italy invented the aerial shell in the 1830s. Dave fact, Mae West created the first bombshell in the 1930s. my favorite kind of fireworks. And firework fact, on July 3rd, 1776, John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail that he thought fireworks should be used to celebrate America's independence from England. Americans have been celebrating their independence with fireworks ever since. Dave fact, if only he had suggested eating wings instead, most 4th of July accidents could be handled in the laundromat instead of the emergency room.
So, kiddies, cool it with the boom boom. The boom boom's fighting your gulati to death over there. So, kiddies, cool it with the boom boom. The boom boom's fighting your gulati to death over there. So, kiddies, cool it with the boom boom. The boom boom's fighting your gulati to death over there.
Three times is better than none at all. That's
making up for last night, eh?
Yes.
There you go. First set of firework facts, Dave facts.
More to come, more to come. Always good stuff. I was just thinking, Fogsbane pointed out, it's number 301. Here we go. Only 299 more to get to episode 600. And we've come a long, long way, Dave, since we started first as a talk show and then of course, expanding into the old-time radio that we're doing at a prolific rate, it seems. and there's so many of these CBS radio mystery theaters alone. It's going to be a long, long time before we have to. I mean, we'll repeat if we want to, or if you want us to, listeners. But if not, and you just leave us to our own devices, we're going to go a long, long time before we have to repeat a damn thing other than specialty shows like War of the Worlds.
Right. We keep bringing in other shows we've never, like, we had two shows that we've never aired before last night. If you didn't hear it, tune in last night. You hear a couple of stories, one from Adventure Ahead and one from Cavalcade of America, two series. One was just a summer replacement, but the other one was one that ran for 18 seasons or 17 or 18 seasons. So, you know, there's just so many shows and so many topics and so much fun to have here that it just so much fun to bring all this and put everything together and share it all. It's such a great time.
It is.
And here's we're only 199 away from program number 500.
Ooh. Very soon we're going to hit the 500 mark, huh?
It feels that way, yes.
So onward with our show tonight. What do we have a broadcast date for Wind and Dingo?
We do. This is episode number 214 from January 12th, 1975.
And now, Mystery Theater. I'm E.G. Marshall. Now, what do you think of when you hear someone say, the spirit of 76? Fifes and drums? The Battle of Bunker Hill? Valley Forge? Most likely. But what isn't too well known is the fact that there was a spirit in 76. A spirit. A ghost. A demon. Indeed, a fearful, deadly apparition to whom all of us owe an almost incomprehensible debt. Because had we not been able to secure the good offices of this frightful phantom at precisely the right moment, well, we might still be subjects of his, I should say, her Royal Majesty.
Jabez Follinsbeth, this court-martial has found you guilty of spying for the enemies of your sovereign, King George III.
But, General, I've just been trying to fight for freedom.
It is the sentence of this court that you be hanged by the neck until dead.
General, I don't think he's going to stand for it.
Well, You don't think who is going to stand for it?
Windandingo, that's who. He's the old Indian spirit of justice. And these are his holy and sacred stamping grounds. He isn't going to let you hang me.
Oh, indeed. And how does this alleged spirit of yours propose to interfere with His Majesty's justice?
Oh, he'll think of something.
Well, he better think quickly. Sergeant, march the prisoner to the nearest suitable tree.
Our mystery drama, Windandingo, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Jack Grimes and Kurt Benson. Mm-hmm. 1777 was hardly a vintage year for the American Revolution. We were losing. The British appeared to be so strong, so well organized, so wealthy, while we seemed so weak, so disrupted, so poverty-stricken. What we needed so desperately was a victory. Of course, in October, that victory would be ours. In a backwoods settlement in New York called Saratoga, British General John Burgoyne would lose not only a battle, but an empire. He would lose it because, well, historians have advanced all sorts of strategic reasons, but nowhere among them will you find mention of an Indian demon called Windandingo. And no one speaks of an obscure American, Jabez Follansbee. Jabez Follansbee? Who could ever believe he would become a hero?
You're mad at me, John.
Oh, James, nope, I ain't mad.
I can tell. I can always tell.
I said I ain't mad, and now let's be done with it.
John, take me back with you.
Nope.
Why no? Because you're mad?
Because you just ain't cut out for soldiering.
But I just ain't cut out for farming either.
Yeah, I know.
I was practicing with your old musket, and I hit the tree every time at 50 yards. And that's a smoothbore. What, you just give me a Kentucky rifle or a... Well, even a Pennsylvanian, I could hit a... Well, I could be a sharpshooter.
Yeah, well, how come then you hit Enoch Fraser's prize bull?
There was an accident, I swear. I thought he was locked up in the barn, and so I wasn't watching.
Now, you promised me something, Jabe.
Yes, John, I will.
I'm taking you to Uncle Dick's Tavern up near Saratoga.
John, that's way north. It's like a foreign country.
Yeah, but there'll be someone to take care of you, so you got to promise that you'll behave.
But I can take care of myself, John.
Jabe, do you want to win the war? Answer yes or no.
I guess so.
Well, you have to help out on the home front. And you can't have me coming back from General Gates' army to get you out of scrapes. You've got to do your part. You've got to. Now, what do you say?
Whoa there. They're coming after us, boy. We may as well face it.
Who?
Look behind you.
It's Enoch Fraser and...
And the sheriff.
Hold in the name of the law. Gotcha. Caught you dead to rights. Caught you in the act. Sheriff, place these felons under arrest.
Sheriff, you know we weren't running away.
Well, I know, John. I know.
I've got to get Jabe to his uncle's tavern up past Albany, and I only have a week's leave from the army.
I demand my rights, Sheriff. Jabez Follansbee here shot my prize bull. I demand compensation.
I'm willing to make good for him, Enoch. It's just that the army ain't been paid.
Am I supposed to wait, Sheriff? Throw him in jail.
Well, I was only practicing so I could join the army and fight for freedom.
What army would take a half-wit like you? I demand you arrest these two desperate brigands and throw them behind bars.
Now, everybody just shut up. Tomorrow morning, Judge McKenzie's going to be in town.
Yeah, but Judge McKenzie's Enoch Fraser's cousin.
It can't be helped. He's the only judge we got.
You throw them two desperados in jail, Sheriff.
We're all going back. We'll spend the night at Frankenthal's Tavern.
But they'll escape.
John, now will you give me your word of honor? I don't want to put you and your brother in jail.
All right.
John, let's head back.
Well, Sheriff, I hold you responsible.
Oh, shut up, Enoch.
Well, can I ask you something, Enoch?
Why don't you like me? What'll I do to us, John?
I don't know.
But you're a captain in General Gates' army. That should mean something.
Yeah, I guess it would mean a lot more if we were winning.
John, you mean we ain't gonna win? Well, we gotta win. We just gotta. Why, we're fighting for freedom. Tell me we're gonna win.
Well, yeah, we're gonna win, I guess, but it's gonna take a whole lot longer than most folks think. You know how some folks are. They want everything yesterday.
Well, here are two really fine-looking boys. An asset to the town and a credit to the country. Mind if I join you, lads?
What's all this, Enoch?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll treat you to supper.
You will? Why?
Why? Because you're fighting for our country, John, and nothing's too good for you. And Mr. Frank and Fowl, beef and bread and beer for my two good friends.
What's on your mind, Enoch?
Well, now... Boys, I got Jabe here for a good 16 pounds worth of damages. Agree?
Yeah, but I said I was sorry.
Oh, I know, son, I know. That's why I'm willing to offer John a proposition, a confidential proposition.
Yeah.
John, you and me, we're men of the world. Is that a fact?
You're talking.
Well, now, it ain't our fight, John. Them Southerners want the land in the Ohio Territory. The merchants are looking to get more for their goods. The rabble-rousers are out to have a good time. What's all this to do with law-abiding New York farmers like us?
Enoch, I don't want to hear any more.
Now, sit her down, Mr. Frankenthal, and make sure them plates are kept full. Well, now, as I was saying...
I said I don't want to hear no more.
Well, that ain't like you, John. You was always a prudent man. Prudent, that is, till you get swept up in this rebellion hip-hip hooray. Well, it gave a bunch of high-spirited boys a chance to play soldier.
Dave, don't you eat another bite.
Well, is something wrong
it's
with
the bread of treason.
Maybe you did win a couple of skirmishes against some poor, scared, imported German farm boys in red coats, but...
Oh, that evil spirit has caught hold of Enoch.
But now the British are sending in trained and seasoned regulars. General Burgoyne is marching down from Canada. General Howe's marching up from New York City. You'll be cut in half, caught in a trap.
That's how you see it.
A prudent man thinks of the future. Therefore, he chooses the winning side.
And you think you have?
Oh, I know I have. And here's my proposal. As a captain in Gates' army, you'd have certain information.
You want me to become a traitor?
Oh, no. A lover of your fellow man. The war's lost. Why not end it sooner? End the waste of lives.
I ought to report this to the sheriff.
John, you just see the light. I'll forget about the damages to my prize bull. And he's worth 16 pounds.
I'll pay it.
Sure. But meanwhile, Jabe will have to sit in jail.
What? You wouldn't put poor Jabe in
jail. I'm entitled to justice. I'm entitled to my damages.
Jabez, you won't go to jail. I'll think of something.
What? There ain't a soul that can help you.
There is, too. I know who can help us. I know.
Do you know?
He's always helped me when I called on him before. He'll help me again.
Jabe.
John, I'm going to call on my oldest friend.
You better call on your richest friend.
I'm going to call on him for justice. He'll help us.
Jabe,
you'll see.
Jabe, look, everybody's looking at
you. It don't matter. He's my friend. He'll help. You remember Walking Beaver, the old Indian we gave food to?
Yeah, now you just come along with me, Jabe.
Before Walking Beaver died, he told me all about the secret Ojibway spirit, a spirit that fights evil. He taught me how to call him. His name is Windandingo.
You hear that, everybody? Windandingo. What's that again?
Windandingo.
Windandingo. Now, if that ain't the funniest I ever
heard.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh at Windandingo.
Why not?
Because he don't like it.
Well, if he don't like it, he damn well.
I'm warning you. I'm warning all of you. Windandingo don't like it.
All right. The joke's over. Any man here who laughs at my brother has to settle with me.
Hold on. Now, hold on, everybody. We don't want no fighting. Now, John, you just take Jabe upstairs and put him to bed.
But, Sheriff, I don't want anything to happen to Enoch.
Nothing's going to happen to nobody.
But Enoch Fraser has got to say he's sorry to Windandingo.
He's got to say it.
Hey, John, you better get him upstairs.
Hey, by Jiminy. Hey, by Jingo. I know your name. It's Windandingo. Fang of a wolf and an eagle's wing. I say your name is Windandingo.
Hey, who are you talking to, James?
Yeah, but nobody, John. Nobody at all.
Yes, you were. That's why I woke up. I heard you say something. Oh, yes, it's that crazy thing. That Windandingo.
No, it ain't crazy. I've seen him.
You have?
100 times. Most folks are scared of him, but not me. All you have to do is ask for justice, and that's all I've done.
That's all you've done?
Windandingo's a good spirit, and I'm asking him to fight against the evil spirit that's taken hold of poor Enoch Fraser. Because, well, it takes a spirit to fight a spirit, don't it?
Jabe, go back to sleep.
Yes, John. Tongue of a copperhead, horns of a moose, claws of a bear, feathers of a goose.
Jabe.
Hey, by Jiminy.
Jabe, shut up. I'm really sleepy.
But, John, this is the only time we can call Windandingo at midnight. It's the only time he's able to hear the voice of mortal man. And the clock just struck. Listen. He's here. That's his voice.
Jabe, that's just an eagle way off.
Listen.
Will you go back to sleep? Help. Who's that?
Sounds like Enoch Fraser.
Kill me.
Enoch must be having a nightmare.
Don't let him. Let me go. Let him.
Oh, Enoch does drink an awful lot.
Don't kill me.
No, it's Windandingo, all right.
Don't.
And justice is being done.
What?
I didn't think Enoch's crimes were that serious.
Well, he's quiet now. I guess he woke himself up from that nightmare.
No, he didn't wake up. He's dead.
That's enough, Jabe. I need my sleep.
And he brung it on himself. He got no one to blame but himself.
Jabe, will you shut up and get to sleep?
Boys. Boys, get up. Wake up.
I'm up, Sheriff.
John. John.
What is it?
Boys, you got to leave.
You got to... What's wrong?
Shh. Don't let no one hear. Get out of here as fast as your legs will take you and as far as your horse can go.
Why?
Enoch Fraser is dead.
He's dead?
Dead. Murdered.
But who killed him?
Who? Why, Jabez. Who else?
Who else? Well, we know who else. Or perhaps we think we know. It was Windandingo, the ancient Indian spirit. Or was it? The fact is, we know Jabez wasn't there while the deed was being done. But our knowing cannot help Jabez. After all, none of us will be able to appear as a witness. However, I shall appear again in just a few moments with Act Two.
And we'll be ready for you, too. Buddy. Windandingo. I wonder, Dave, long ago, in the early 70s, I read a Hulk comic book, and he fought a character called the Wendigo. Now, they wrote a piece in that particular comic book, as well as in one of the horror mags that Marvel was selling. And the Wendigo is a Indian spirit, which some believe maybe that's the origin of the Sasquatch.
Ah, it's interesting you bring that up, Dale, because in the comments, one person did allude that they listened because of the Wendigo, which I wasn't sure what they were referring to. So I'm glad you brought that up. I'm not sure which came first, the chicken or the egg, but we may get a resolution to perhaps which came first. Again, this interesting little revelation at the end of the story, actually by E.G. Marshall. So We may have a little bit more on that at the conclusion of the story. I was wondering, the prize bull that Jabez Follinsby accidentally killed was worth 16 pounds in 1777. And I didn't have Gar to bring out his Garculator. So I did some research online and found out 16 pounds in 1777 would be worth $2,554.42 in money today, or in U.S. funds, that bull would be worth $3,198.64. That was nice. Quite a prize bull. That's a lot of bull. That's a lot of bull, man.
That's not a lot of bull. What I'm wondering, Dave, is the Wendigo and Windandingo actually the same thing? You know what I mean? It could be a pronunciation thing. You know, as we've tried to convert native languages to English, you know, meanings and words and pronunciations are going to change.
That's true.
I wonder if it's roughly the same entity or same creature. Maybe, like you said, as we listen on, we'll find out more.
Yes, the very conclusion of this, which is one of the things that made this show to me so much neater than I thought it was a good story. But even the thing is, one of the very last things that E.G. Marshall comes up with is just makes it that much better, and so it's just kind of a cool thing.
And you're an absolute wizard for finding this stuff, theming them up, and putting them together, David. This is cool. And for a 4th of July story, you found a thriller for us. This one's becoming quite interesting.
All right. First murder already in the first act already. Wow.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Hey, we have, we want to get another fireworks fact, Dave fact, out of the way here before we start act two?
Well, not so much get out of the way. Let's share these. These are great.
Here we go. Firework fact. During the 4th of July, Americans light about 175 million pounds of fireworks, which is the equivalent of about 100,000 lightning bolts. Dave fact. Just try and fly your kite in that, Ben Franklin. Firework fact. At the beginning of the 20th century, the Society for Suppression of Unnecessary Noise campaigned against the use of fireworks. Dave fact, fortunately for all, the firecrackers were louder than they were. Firework fact, in 2012, 8,700 people in the U.S. were injured by fireworks. In 2013, that number increased to 11,300. Most, at least 65% of the injuries happened the 30 days near the 4th of July. Dave fact, at this rate, by the year 2057, there will be more firework accidents than there will be people. Firework fact. Males account for 57% of private firework injuries in the U.S. Females are injured more often at public firework displays. Dave fact. See, ladies, it's safer to just stay home and watch your boyfriend or husband blow off their fingers instead. But if you really want to start fireworks, introduce your boyfriend to your husband. There you go. Two down, one to go.
So yeah, let's move into part two of Windandingo. From CBS Radio Mystery Theater. We'll be back.
It is the fall of the year 1777. We're about a month away from the great victory at Saratoga that will turn the tide. And one of the principal characters who will decide the fate of the revolution is now deep in trouble in a little Hudson River town. His name is Jabez Follansbee. The same Jabez we met earlier. Impossible. How could Jabez be the principal character in anything? Well, don't sell our Jabez short. He has a great many hidden facets.
Nah, Sheriff, you know Jabe couldn't kill anybody.
I know, but it don't look good.
Jabe, did you kill Enoch?
No, John, I never killed anybody.
And he don't lie, Sheriff.
Except maybe that prize ball of Enoch's.
Look, boys, everybody heard Jabez threaten Enoch with this Windandango.
No, Windandango.
Whatever. And that was the name Enoch was screaming. You know how some folks are. They'll claim Jabe was guilty of witchcraft.
It's no witchcraft, just Windandango bringing justice.
Sheriff, Enoch ate and drank like a pig. He had a nightmare and he died of indigestion.
Well, now, I'm sure that point of view will be considered at such time as cooler heads will prevail. But that time sure ain't gonna be tomorrow morning. Now, you two better be on your way faster than lightning.
John, you don't believe I killed Enoch.
But how could you? You were with me all the time.
Well, you could believe I had Windandango do it.
I don't believe anything of the kind.
I didn't ask Windandango to kill Enoch. All I asked for was justice.
Sure.
And it was justice Windandango gave him.
Oh, there. There. Now. Before we go inside.
What?
Now, you promise me that you will do as Uncle Dick and Aunt Martha say. You'll keep out of scrapes. You won't fire guns.
John, can't you take me with you?
If you come with me, you'll have to kill people. Now, could you do that, Jabe? Could you shoot a man?
No. I still have bad dreams about that bull. Aunt Martha!
What? Why, it's John and Jabez.
Hello, Aunt Martha.
Boys, meet my nephews. The tall one's a captain with Gates' army. And the other one, he's come to help me. Both of you, come right over here.
Yeah.
Well, look at the two of you, how you've grown. Oh, Jabez.
How's Uncle Dick, Aunt Martha?
Well, boys, your uncle's a prisoner.
A prisoner?
Captured at Ticonderoga. The Redcoats took it back from us. I don't know, it don't look good. The way General Burgoyne's headed here from Canada with 8,000-10,000 men.
I better be getting back to my regiment.
Oh, you ain't going nowhere till you had your dinner first. Now, you both sit down. I'll be right back.
You going back, John?
I have to.
You have to go and I have to stay. You'll be fighting for freedom and I'll be doing nothing.
You'll be doing your part, helping out here.
John, this war, it's the biggest thing that'll ever happen while I'm alive, and I'll have done nothing.
Don't say that. Who knows? You could wind up being a hero.
Oh, yeah.
I mean it.
Yeah, by sweeping out of town.
By being ready.
Being ready for what?
For whatever fate has in store.
Well, I look at myself, and you know what I say? I say, Jabez Follansbee, fate has got absolutely nothing in store for you. Yankee Doodle, keep it up. Yankee Doodle, dandy. Mind the music and the step. And with the girl...
Yep. You there.
Yes, sir. Well, you're a captain, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a captain.
Well, I can tell from my uniform. My brother's a captain. He's with General Gates.
Yeah, well, where are the nearest American troops?
Well, I guess they're in Albany, Captain.
How far is that?
Oh, maybe 30 miles.
Did I get a fresh horse?
Yes, sir.
Now, son, listen. The British have broken through. General Burgoyne's headed this way.
They're coming. Aunt Martha, Burgoyne's army, they're coming.
I see him. I hear him.
Aunt Martha, I found a rifle in the hayloft.
You just leave it there. Leave it.
Yeah, but we just can't let Burgoyne's army go to Albany.
Yes, we can. Dave, the British are peace, just like we are.
Yes, ma'am.
And they go to church.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're tavern keepers. It's an old and honored profession, and Our duty is to dispense hospitality to all that cross our threshold.
Look at them, Aunt Martha. Look at them. Look at how big they are. How they march. And all the guns and cannon and wagons and everything. I guess you could really call them an army. Not like
what, Aunt Martha?
Nothing.
I don't care. I just bet our boys can fight better. Hey, look, that man with all the gold and the lace.
Hmm?
Oh, ain't that some horse he's riding?
It must be General Burgoyne himself.
He's riding toward us.
Oh. You better get on your feet, Jane. Right.
All right. Good day to you, madam. This, I presume, is Follinsby's Tavern.
Yes, sir.
And you would be Mrs. Martha Follinsby? And he would be your nephew, Jabez.
How did you know?
We have our information, madam.
You mean you're spies?
Well now, Jabez, don't look down your nose at spying. You may decide to try it yourself one day. Mrs. Follinsby, I'm told you prepare the best table in the province.
Oh, well,
I understand. You just as soon not feed a morsel nor bestow a drop upon the red-coated tyrants.
Oh, no, I never said it. Why, I was telling Jabe here just before that...
Yes, well, we shall pay. I might add at your usual pre-rebellion rates. None of your Yankee hanky-panky. Captain Sterling, the army will halt here. Parkhurst, have our baggage brought in. Well, Jabez, no need to look frightened.
Bob, I'm not frightened.
I haven't come here to hang you from that sycamore tree. Although if I did, would it be such a significant loss to anyone? Would it?
Well, sir, it would be a significant loss to me.
Come in.
You told Aunt Martha you wanted this wine, General, and here it is.
I see.
Aunt Martha wants me to clean up the room, too.
Yes. May I inquire, Jabez, that's a rather large knife you carry in your belt.
Yes, sir.
You look like a peaceable enough fellow. Why are you so well armed?
Well, I'm in the woods a lot, and you need a knife.
I must say, Jabez, I'm considerably relieved. I'd overheard you and your aunt talking in the kitchen.
Oh, General.
No, I wasn't eavesdropping. Well, the truth is, I was. Who can resist the temptation? And I heard you talking about fighting for freedom. I had assumed, perhaps, that you might strike a blow for freedom with that knife.
With the knife? Well, how?
How? By letting out the heart's blood of Sir John Burgoyne.
Sir, please don't say that. The idea of stabbing somebody, it makes... It makes me sick.
Well, what's this? You're actually trembling. Here, have some wine.
No, sir. That'll make me sicker.
Oh, I'm truly sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. But you must admit that the assassination of the tyrant commander, as I believe I'm called, would be a mighty blow for freedom.
No, sir. I ain't gonna admit that.
Why not?
Well, I've been thinking and... Well, I think I'm willing to die for freedom. I'm just not willing to kill for it.
Sir, the dispatches have arrived. You have a communication from General Howe.
Do I have a letter from Mr. David Garrick in London?
No, sir.
Well, are you sure, Parkhurst?
Yes, sir. But this letter from General Howe...
But Garrick as good as promised he would produce my play this season.
Sir, this letter from General Howe...
Oh, the devil take General Howe. Damn it, Parkhurst. My Maid of the Oaks is as good a work as anything Garrick could put on the boards. Better.
This letter from General Howe in New York City is most urgent.
The devil take William Howe. Fanny Kemble herself wants to play the part and... Did you say a letter from General Howe in New York City?
Yes, sir.
Just what in the seven unholy names of Satan is Wee Willie Howe still doing in the city of New York? He should be halfway to Albany by now.
Well, sir, the letter was sent from New York. But General Howe is marching on Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. May I have that letter?
Soldier Burgoyne, the greatest assistance I can give you is to capture Philadelphia and thus prevent Washington from moving northward. Your obedient servant.
Washington? He wants to save me from General Washington? That threadbare Virginia aristocrat and his pathetic rabble that masquerades as an army? Well, it's Gates and Morgan who threaten me here.
But, sir, what's to be done?
Well, we'll move back very quickly toward Fort Ticonderoga before the rebels can close in and cut us off. Jabez, bring me more wine. Quickly.
Yes, sir, General.
I want the army ready to march in 2 hours.
Jabe, I was listening at the door to every word. General Howe ain't coming. Burgoyne has to skedaddle back to Canada.
Well, that's a blow for freedom, isn't it?
It would be a bigger blow if Burgoyne was captured, taken with his whole army, the entire kit and caboodle, all them guns and horses and ammunition and supplies.
But how, Aunt Martha, how?
You're gonna do it, Jabe.
Me?
Yes, sir, you. You're gonna be responsible for the capture of Gentleman Johnny Burgoyne and 8,000 of the best troops in the whole British Army. You, Jabez Follansbee.
Well, the only thing that can be said at this point in time is that she knows something we don't know. And she's right. Because as students of history, we know the end of the story. We know that Burgoyne and his army were captured. Now, we shall expand that knowledge and discover how, when I return shortly with Act 3.
Interesting look at a little piece of revolutionary history right here on Erie House Radio.
You know, of all the times we've heard Jack Grimes here, Dale, with Mystery Theater and with X-1 and so many programs, we've never really talked about him. He, of course, is the lead in tonight's show, is Jabez Follansbee. And he was actually, he was born April 1st, 1926 in New York City. Began his acting career at age 7 during the Depression, when he helped earn money for his family. He completed grammar school at the Professional Children's School and went on to complete 4 years in Columbia University. Now, on the stage, he appeared in Broadway play The Old Maid as Jackie Grimes, which won a Pulitzer Prize, ran for 10 months in New York, and went on tour for another 11 months. His other Broadway credits include Stork Man, 1936, Excursion in 1937, and The Western Waters, 1937 and 38. Now, this led him to radio in New York, and he worked in radio beginning with CBS on the program Let's Pretend. He also was a regular on The Fred Allen Show, Philip Morris Playhouse, Second Husband, and Death Valley Days, as well as here in the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. By age 12, he was appearing on 35 to 40 radio shows a week. By age 12, let's see, 44, he moved to California for Universal. His film credits include Fairy Tale Murder, Lady on a Train, Weekend at the Waldorf. In the 50s, he switched to television. His credits are Acola Presents, Love of Life, The Aldridge Family, Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, Maud, On the Rocks, and All in the Family. Let's see, he... 62, he and Peter Fernandez worked together on a series of records for MGM. 5 years later, Fernandez hired him to do the voice of Sparky and Chim Chim on Speed Racer. How do you like that? In 1945, River Gang, he was Goofy in Speed Racer, the movie. He was Chim Chim in Sparky in 67. Pendulum, he was Artie from 69. Wonderful World of Puss in Boots from 69. He was Pierre, the voice of that. Cold Turkey in 71, he was a TV stage manager. In 74, Jack and the Beanstalk, he was Crosby, the English version, a voice uncredited. And Enchanted Journey in 1981 as a voice. He's here tonight with us on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
And a great show it is. Quite curious to see how this one's going to wind up. It's just another good example of good writing, a good story. I find it surprising, Dave, when you look this up, you saw those negative comments.
It does surprise me. Again, this is one of the stories that I've always enjoyed. This is one of those ones that my brother and I had on cassette. We wore this cassette out. We just played it and played it and played it. It was just to us. And again, whether it's how much of it's true or not, we don't know, but there is historical fact to some of the things going on in this story, which makes it cool that at the very least, they took a historical moment and built a story around it.
That's sometimes the best kind of fiction. I think the writers who immerse themselves into a period or a place, a geographical place, when they're familiar with it, they're just so much better writers. They capture things, details that, you know, the person enjoying the story latches onto.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's a good story. I just don't understand why though there were so many negative comments against it. But you know what? Some people just don't care anything about historical or historical reference. I guess. They find history boring. I never have, and that could be part of it.
I did in high school, or junior high school, I should say. But the older I got, the more fascinated I became with history, and the deeper appreciation I think I have for old movies, old anything. I love antiques. I love collectibles and things like that. Just these old movies, these old radio shows that we talk about and play and enjoy and host and whatever. It's a window in time. Even though the story may be totally fanciful, you can still get a feel for the period in which the film was made. Even
right.
If it takes place in a completely different time. Sometimes by the quality or grain of the film, or the quality of the video, or the sound, or the color, or lack thereof.
Here's the important thing about that too, Dale. Enjoying these old movies, enjoying them, and thinking about their time and stuff. But you can't compare it to today's standards, either filmmaking or of today's times. You can't make everything that happened 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago and put it in today's terms, because hopefully we have all grown, but that doesn't mean that you can tear that all down because of it. And that's so much that is happening today that it's frustrating to me as a writer, as a bit of a comic, and as a writer, it frustrates me no end that there are things I can't say or can't do because, quote unquote, it's racist, it's offensive, and I don't really feel that I am. I'm just going for a punchline, and it makes it so difficult to when people take things from the context of something 60 years old or older and trying to put today's standards on it. It's absolutely insane.
It is, and so many banned cartoons, banned commercials, things that they make difficult to seek out because of, if somebody's feelings are hurt, or it's even a poor view of a certain group of people. That
right.
may well be, but it's also a piece of history. These are things to be learned from.
Right, and there are some things that are absolutely, that even make me, when I look at some of these, even some of the old Warner Brothers, make me kind of take a deep breath and say, wow, that's bad. But when you get to banning a Bugs Bunny cartoon because, somebody, Sam, is playing a Hessian soldier and Bugs Bunny is playing a Yankee Doodle character, we've gone too far.
Yeah.
We've gone too far. Thank you, Ted Turner.
Yeah. Yeah. so many... Well, and I think when they try to edit these things, like I've seen Warner Brothers cartoons edited, when something of sensitive nature comes up, they'll do a freeze frame and continue the audio. But I remember a couple like that. One was racially oriented, and another one showed a dog committing suicide. He put a gun to his head and blew himself away. That's a cartoon dog. Shot himself. Well, they thought that was too upsetting, and you know, they cut out the ending.
Yeah. Well, we're not cutting out any ending here today, are we?
No, we're not cutting anything out of any of these. We've had a few moments here, you know, with some of the old radio shows of stereotypes and things, but we're not changing anything. This is how people heard them. This is the way they were meant to be presented, right or wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, meh.
Yep, yep.
Bastard that I am. But I'm not so mean that we won't wrap up our wonderful story, Wind and Dingo, from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. We'll have time to chit-chat after this. And who knows, maybe some more surprises.
Each must answer the call of fate. For some, it comes early, for others, late. And fate is now calling to Jabez Follansbee, a young man of New York State in the year of 1777. Proof again, if proof were ever needed, that some of the most remarkable and earth-shaking events occur not simply because of the actions of the rich and the powerful, but also through the unconscious intervention of the powerless and the lowly.
General Burgoyne can be captured by our General Gates if
what, Aunt Martha?
If they can get here quick enough, Jabez. If Gates can only send some cavalry real fast, they could delay Burgoyne long enough for the rest of the army to come up and capture him.
Well, what can I do?
Oh, you can mount Mayflower. She's the fastest horse we got in the stable, and ride like the wind to where General Gates is camped and tell him. Jabe, are you listening to me?
Yeah, Aunt Martha, I'm listening.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I can hardly believe it.
Believe what?
Well, what John said, and yet it's come true. John said, he said, if I was ready, fate would make me a hero.
Well, it has come true.
And I can fight for freedom without shedding blood.
You ain't got a minute to lose. Saddle up Mayflower.
I have to bring General Burgoyne a bottle of wine.
No, I'll do it.
Yeah, but he asked me.
Be on your way, Jabe. Every minute's as precious as gold. Hey,
goodbye, Aunt Martha.
Goodbye, Jabe. And the good Lord bless you.
Captain Sterling has ordered all unit commanders to be ready to move in 2 hours.
Well, I want a screen of light cavalry on both flanks.
May I say, sir, that it's a brilliant maneuver?
No doubt. But back in London, it will be construed as an inglorious retreat.
But a most necessary one.
Yeah, to my political enemies, and I have a vintage crop this year, a retreat is always a disgrace.
But, General, to move an army so many miles through hostile territory is surely a feat worthy of it.
No, I shall be Burgoyne the bungler, while Howe will be the hero. Howe with his cheap victory at Philadelphia. Did I say cheap? It will cost us these 13 colonies. Where's my wine? Jabez!
Oh, General, You ordered this bottle.
Yes, in about time, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
I tell you, Parkhurst, this William Howe, he hasn't the sense, the brains, the intellect of this young servant, this Jabez Follansbee. Where is Jabez, Mrs. Follansbee?
Where's Jabez, sir?
Yes, madam.
Oh,
Yes?
Well, I sent him to the barn to
Yes, well, I wish to see him.
Oh, but he's got to chop some wood.
I wish to talk to him.
Oh, but begging your pardon, sir, unless he does his chores, you aren't going to have wood for your fire tonight or for me to cook your supper.
May I suggest a solution to the problem?
I shall assign an orderly to the wood chopping, thus freeing Jabez for his more important duty, which is to speak with me. Fetch him, if you please. Madam, is there a difficulty I am unaware of? Why are you so nervous?
Me?
So frightened. And where is Jabez?
By the barn, chopping wood, sir.
I can see the barn very clearly from this window, but I neither see nor hear Jabez.
General, the boy was in here when I handed you the dispatch from New York City. Could he be off for General Gates's encampment?
Well, Mrs. Follinsby, could he?
No.
Parkhurst, have a party of scouts go after him. Well, Jabez?
General, I guess you were wrong.
Wrong?
Well, you said you didn't come here to hang me to the sycamore tree outside, but those men who captured me said that's what you're
going to... I'm sorry, Jabez, but we have rules.
Don't hang him. Why should you hang him?
Because he was conveying information to the enemy.
Who says so?
Now, madam.
Who says so? But maybe... maybe he just felt like taking a little ride on horseback. I mean, is that something to hang a man for?
I see. Well, that would, of course, place the case in an entirely new perspective. Is that what Jabez was doing?
Yes, sir.
Is it, Jabez? Were you merely out for a little ride? Or were you conveying information to General Gates? Oh,
tell him you were just out for a little ride, Jabez.
I was bringing information to General Gates.
Shall I ask that question again, Jabez?
No, sir. I heard it the first time.
Damn it, Jabez, do you want me to hang you?
No, sir, but I don't want to lie, neither.
General, the army is ready to march.
I know that, Parkhurst.
May I suggest we hang the prisoner and be on our way?
Jabez, I don't want to hang you.
I know that, sir. I appreciate that, but I can't lie.
Even if you have to die?
I won't die.
Oh, indeed. Why not?
Well, because that wouldn't be justice. And that's why Windandingo wouldn't let it happen.
I don't believe I caught that name.
Windandingo.
Yes?
Windandingo. He's the old Ojibwe Indian spirit of justice. And all through here, all through this country, it's his holy ground. And if you ask him for justice in the right way, he'll see you get it.
Yes. Well, my boy, I suggest you ask him.
I will.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Midnight.
Midnight?
Well, yes, sir. You can't raise him till midnight.
But I intend to hang you now.
Well, you wouldn't do that, General. You're a fair man. You'd give a man a chance.
I am giving you a chance. Just tell me you were out riding for pleasure or to visit your girl, and we're quits.
I don't get any pleasure riding a horse, and I don't have a girl here.
General, every minute we delay...
Jabez, do you expect me to wait till midnight?
I expect you to do the right thing.
Well, what is supposed to happen at midnight?
I'll call on Windandingo.
Yes?
And he'll appear.
Where?
Right here. And only here.
Why?
Because this is where the injustice was first made.
And then?
And then... he'll see that you give me justice.
How?
I don't know, General. That'll have to be between you and Windandingo. He'll convince you somehow.
You mean a spirit will materialize and convince me that it would be unjust to hang you?
Yes, sir.
Sir, shall the light cavalry be posted on the flanks now?
He will actually appear?
Yes, sir.
General, we need every minute.
Parkhurst.
Yes, sir.
Do you know what this lad is saying?
Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir.
A spirit, an Indian spirit, will appear here at midnight to plead for his life.
Sir, any hour now, the rebels will know about General Howe. We have just about run out of time.
No, Parkhurst, we run out of life. But time, there's enough and to spare. Look at that boy's face, Parkhurst.
I must remind the General...
he is the only completely honest human being you and I have ever met. Let us salute him.
Sir.
Now, Jabez, this Windandingo of yours, he will appear promptly at midnight.
General, is it possible you don't realize...
Parkhurst! I will deserve disgrace if I run from this continental rabble. I've decided to stay, to fight, and to break the back of this impertinent rebellion. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Jabez, will your Windandingo appear promptly at midnight?
Yes, sir, he will. You'll see him.
I had better, because if I do not, if you are playing me false, then I shall hang you. Hang you from the bough of that sycamore tree. I shall hang you by the neck until you are dead, and leave you dangling for the kites and crows to feast on your carcass. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Sir, I wish to report that it's midnight.
I'm aware of that, Parkhurst.
Also, word from the outpost. Enemy signs on the left flank.
Thank you, Parkhurst.
There may still be time to break out, sir.
That will be all.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's midnight, Jabez. Jabez?
Hey, by Jiminy. Hey, by Jingo. I know your name. It's Windandingo. Fang of a wolf and an eagle's wing. I know your name is Windandingo.
Is he a wolf? An eagle? What, Jabez?
Tongue of a copperhead, horns of a moose, claws of a bear, feathers of a goose.
Where is he, Jabez? Where?
I know your name. It's Windandingo.
Well?
Windandingo. I don't know, General. I don't know. He's always showed up before.
Were you lying to me?
No, sir. Those words always fetched him.
Admit you were lying.
But I was telling the truth.
Say you were frightened.
No, it's the truth.
You made it up to save your life.
I tell you it's true.
Admit it's a lie, and I'll spare your life.
But I've seen him. I know him.
For that, Jabez, I shall hang you.
Windandingo! Windandingo!
There is no Windandingo. But there is a Major Parkhurst, and I shall order him to assemble an execution squad.
Windandingo, Windandingo, I know your name. It's Windandingo.
There is no Windandingo.
Listen.
Well, it's a quiet night. I can hear an eagle screaming in the distance.
Listen.
Can that be a bear prowling about?
The hissing of a snake, the call of a moose, the growl of a bear, the cackle of a goose. It's Windandingo.
There is no Windandingo.
You hear him.
I.
And you see him.
Well, I think I see something. A shape of a man. Two. A snake. A bird. It has feathers. Hair. Claws, fangs.
You see him, you see him.
What is it?
It's Windandingo.
No, it isn't possible. It doesn't exist. These things don't exist.
It's Windandingo.
No, oh, I'm dreaming.
You're awake.
I had too much to drink.
It's Windandingo.
What does he want with me?
Listen to him.
I'm listening. I can't hear a word.
He talks without words. He's in your mind. Listen to what he's saying. He gets angry if you don't listen. What is Windandingo saying?
Spare his life. Give him justice. Give all people justice. Without justice, there is only death. 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 Jabez, I never wanted to.
General! General Burgoyne, help! Help!
What have you done to the general?
Well, I didn't do nothing.
General, are you all right, sir?
Where did it go?
Where did what go?
But it was just standing there.
What was just standing here?
Oh, Jabez.
Yes, General.
You're a young scoundrel.
But sir...
I really should hang you.
Windandingo was here.
But I won't. On one condition. Give me your solemn oath. Go join Gates's army.
Sir, I really am not much for fighting.
Jabez, there's nothing so destructive to the smooth operation of an army, indeed a government,
as a completely honest man. You've done enough damage here. Now take your talent for disruption over to your own people. It's perhaps the best chance we British have to win this war.
Well, Jabez did manage somehow to join General Gates' army, and he fought side by side with his brother John. However, Burgoyne's cynical hope was not to come true. After all, we did win the war. So you see, Jabe's honesty, sincerity, and idealism didn't do us too much damage at that time. I'll be back shortly. In case you're wondering what happened to Gentleman Johnny Burgoyne, he went home to become richer and more powerful than ever. He spent the rest of his life writing plays. And they say one of them was about a powerful Indian spirit. Unfortunately, many of his papers have been lost. A pity. However, if they ever find that play, we'll present it here for you on Mystery Theater. Our cast included Jack Grimes, Court Benson, Mason Adams, Earl Hammond, and Bryna Rayburn. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Interesting that one of the plays he did write having to do with an Indian spirit. How interesting is that?
And perhaps true justice.
See, that wasn't such a bad story. I don't know what all those people are talking about. I just have always loved that story.
It's a great tale. You know what? It's hard for a younger audience to appreciate old time radio. it's hard for them to even I have trouble with silent films sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do. Yeah.
When your senses are trained to have dialogue along with music and things like that, it's you have to be in a certain mood, I think, or ready for a certain frame of reference to really enjoy a silent film and look at it through the lens of someone who maybe was seeing it for the first time back in the 19-teens, 1920s.
Yes, yeah.
Who knows?
And to think at that time when there was some radio wasn't all places because the electricity wasn't all places. That if you had radio, it might have been on a battery-operated one. You could only use that for a certain time. You couldn't let it run like we can all night long and such. So the big medium of the day were the movie houses and the silent movies. And just think what a miracle that would be back then to go to a movie with a movie house with a lot of people and watch one of these big giant films on the screen, sound or no sound, you know? Because it always a matter of perspective.
It was absolutely thrilling when they would do action films, and even more amazing when you look at someone like George Méliès. I mean, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, using magic and really becoming the grandfather of all special effects technicians.
Absolutely.
Stuff he did with double exposures and magic type devices to make the Fantastic come out for these very, very early audiences.
Yeah. But for us who have always been around the sound movies and it's like my sons, you know, the first time they saw a black and white TV show, they thought my TV was broken. we look at that and they say, well, how could they watch that? The fact is, that's how it was done back then. And movies were truly universal because all you had to do was change the wording on the card. This is one of the reasons that Chaplin waited so long to actually head into the sound movies, even doing a couple of silence feature films before he actually went to sound. I think his first sound movie may have been the Great Dictator. It's also the first time and last time he would play the Little Tramp. He knew he would lose a lot of the universal audience that he had once you put sound to it and English to it.
But he did such a great job in The Great Dictator. He was able to span the medium. Some people did not. They did not have the voice for
right.
it. Heck, if you watch the whole movie, Singing in the Rain, it kind of takes place around that period when
right.
when movies
right.
were just jumping over to sound and how some people couldn't make it. And you know, they experimented with the idea of dubbing voices.
The ridiculousness of some of those old silence. And if you've never seen The Great Dictator, something that may help you want to watch that, go on to YouTube, find the speech from The Great Dictator, Chaplin. That 4.5-minute speech that he gives there is so impressive. It's unbelievable. I have a copy of the whole movie myself here, and I do pull that out once in a while and watch that because it's an amazing time chronicling what was happening in Germany at that time and what was happening to the Jewish people there as well. He didn't do a lot of sound movies. When he did, he usually made it worth his while.
He did, and with the amazing success he had in silent films, expressing himself silently through the use of pantomime and you know, just facial expressions and what have you, to be able to make that move into sound was amazing. Here's one person who was able to do it that most people don't know, and unfortunately we never ever got the chance to really appreciate the voice talents of Lon Chaney Sr.
Yeah.
It was said that he was also the man of a thousand voices. Unfortunately, there's only one, I think, surviving film of his that is, in fact, sound. Sadly, he developed throat cancer and passed, the same thing that would take his son, who we will be discussing at length next weekend on Friday, July 12th. See that path I took there to get there?
It did. It was a long track around, but you made it back. Yeah, cool.
I kind of swung that around there. No, but these are true things, though. I mean, Chaney was a master in silent films, but he was able to go into sound. His son, we will be commemorating his passing. It was July 12th in 1974, I believe. 73, 74.
Mm-hmm.
With some very rare audio of Lon Chaney Jr., including the only known, at least, surviving radio show, an episode of Abbott and Costello with Lon Chaney Jr. That's Friday at 8:30.
Absolutely. It will be a fun time. And before we move forward off of our 4th of July, we have a final series of firework fact, Dave facts. Here we go.
Ah, wonderful.
Firework fact. There are about 14,000 fireworks shows in the United States on July 4th. Dave fact. That's considerably more shows than Netflix has left. Firework fact. Firework requires just three main components. One, an oxidizer. Two, a fuel. And three, a chemical mixture to create the color. Dave fact. Usually all it takes to create fireworks for me is a miniskirt. Firework fact. The largest manufacturer and exporter of fireworks in the world today is China. Dave fact. Donald Trump is the second largest exporter. Excuse me. Firework fact. People who make firework shells are required to wear cotton clothing, even cotton underwear, because synthetic clothing can create sparks from static that could detonate fireworks. Dave fact. Making fireworks in a factory or creating fireworks in the backseat of your car just goes to show you how important your shorts really are. There you go.
Well, Dave, I see you uploaded a little bonus here for us. Gene Shepard selling fireworks?
Yeah, it's not the neatest little clip in the world. He had a story that he never really got to about 4th of July in the military, but he never really got to it before he ran out of time, I guess. Gene Shepard was a wonderful New York. I really don't want to call him a disc jockey, more of a talk jock. He told stories. He did his commercials live. But basically he told stories, some true and embellished, and some probably he just out and out made up. Some of those stories ended up being in a couple of movies, one being A Christmas Story. That was about four of his stories combined to make The Christmas Story. Then he did My Summer Story. That one was also filmed very much in Cleveland. And a friend of ours, Mike Mace, was one of the Bumpuses that lived next door in that film. And again, that was a collection of probably about four of his stories combined into make one movie. From his, he did amass those in a book called In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. So this is just a short bit about him selling fireworks as a young man.
And here we go. Let's listen to this holiday story.
About this time, if you don't mind, do you mind a little reminiscing? Any of you like any this time when I'm a kid one time? It's just about this time. In fact, it was 3 days before the 4th of July, which is exactly the situation now. I am working in a fireworks stand. Now, many people don't know really the world of the fireworks seller. Most people know fireworks only from the pow, oh, my hand! Oh, 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 quick, quick, my hand! Ah! That's the only side that most people know about fireworks. Well, there is another side. There's another side to fireworks. And that's the side of the guy who stands on the other side of the counter, and he watches the people come in to buy the stuff. And boy, I'll tell you, you know, one thing that my old man used to say, for the benefit of any of you who are budding psychology students, maybe this might be of some help to you. One thing my old man used to say, he's saying, "Now look," he says, "now look, Gene." See, I was working when he would be off taking his lunch or something. He put me behind a counter. He'd say, "Now look, Gene." He said, "Now listen, when you see a little skinny guy with thick glasses get out of a great big car and walk toward the stand, get ready for a killing. Get ready for a big killing." He says, "This little guy's got to prove it." And sure enough, little skinny guys with thick glasses, Don, used to come ambling out of their cars, and they'd come in, and the first thing they would look at would be these 3.5-foot aerial bombs. You know, the kind that rock the neighborhood. The kind that go off with the sound of distant thunder. Some distant thunder that is heard over the horizon where China breaks across the bay like a beautiful many-colored flower. And so these guys would come out, and they never wanted to quite ask it. They'd say, what does that one do over there? Oh, would that one over there, please? That one there. And, of course, I'd play it cool. I'd say, you mean this one? And I'd take the little Chinese, you know, the little Chinese lady fingers. I'd say, you mean these here? These Chinese lady fingers? Here, I'll show you what these do. And I'd pop one of them. I'd say, knock that. He'd say, no, the one over there. Well, then I'd say, oh, you mean the sparklers over here, the sparklers. And he'd say, no, over to the left of the sparklers there. Oh, this one. Oh, this is our Devastation number 2 model. This one. This one, of course, we only allow to be used by the hand of a true adult. And invariably, they'd buy it. And, of course, the big guys would come in. You see, so it's funny how big guys would come in and buy sparklers. Great big hulking brutes would come in and they'd buy little torpedoes. You know, the kind of, they'd go off like that. And it was the little guy who bought the 7.5-foot Roman candle. Now, about this time of the year, when I was about, 10, up through about the 11th or 12th year, something like that, I was packing away the dough to buy my own fireworks. Packing away the dough, I'd been packing for weeks to buy this stuff. And to me, the 4th of July, as it does to most of us now, just means that they got double headers in both leagues now. Or everybody goes to the beach, you know, that kind of scene. Or everybody's got a day off and all the chicks are yelling and hollering because the day off falls on Monday and they wish it would go on Saturday and so on, or whatever it might be. But
well, that was an abrupt ending.
I would think that it... I can't understand why people complain that your holiday fell on a Monday. But maybe, back during the 60s, not quite as many women were out in the workforce either. So, you know.
That's true.
But. A neat little story in there. He never got to the story he really wanted to tell. So maybe I'll try and dig that out for next year's show. Perhaps.
Could be, folks. So you'll have to wait to find out.
Hey, you tell them what's going on next week. And, of course, we'll have a werewolf story in honor of him on Saturday, Alon Chaney Jr. But the following week, we're doing something pretty special there, too, Dale.
That we are. It'll be the 50th anniversary of the landing of the moon. So after a weekend of Lon Chaney and werewolves, we're celebrating the moon landing with some classic science fiction. 2000 plus, X-1, Dimension X, Theater 5, Exploring Tomorrow, and maybe we'll even get Betty Grable to sing. Who knows?
Maybe we will. But, you know, and they're all shows about going to the moon before we actually went to the moon. So there you go.
And that's what we have planned for you. I strongly urge you join us, though, next weekend. This is going to be very special. Look at Lon Chaney Jr. We've talked about him here before, but we'll get a little more in-depth about his real life. I don't want to dwell too much on anything negative. You know, he had some challenges, of course, but it's more of a celebration of Lon Chaney Jr.
Absolutely. And it looks like it's just about time for us to head out for tonight.
Yeah, we're coming around the mountain here. I want to thank Logs Bane and everybody for listening, either live now here or in the archive.
We're giving you time to head over to Gar's horrible horror starring Gar the Ghoul, who will be on in just a couple of minutes here as well. So,
yeah, you will. Don't miss it if you can. No, sir. Thank you. He's the greatest. He's the greatest. And Annie and everybody else that listens in, even Vorpal Bite swings in from a vine from time to time.
He is.
Here to join us on Erie House Radio. See you Friday at 8:30.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Perfect. See, that was a perfect ending, Dave.
Yeah, it sure was.
Perfect.
If it actually ended, then yeah.
It's almost as if it didn't really end, and we're just going on and on and on.
Could it be because it didn't really end, and it's going on and on and on? It could be that way.
Yeah. It's almost like you'd almost expect another half hour of a show.
You'd almost expect that, but you know that on Saturdays, it's only a 90-minute show almost always. So, therefore, you can't really That's right.
We couldn't possibly be live and on the air right now, but
No. That would be incorrect. That could be incorrect to think that. I mean, there'd be some kind of programming error or something we could blame on Blog Talk if that were to happen.
Yeah, no, because none of us could have done anything, you know, made a mistake or anything.
That just doesn't ever happen. He says, looking in the mirror.
Yes, we seek perfection. We'll keep looking.
Hey, I found my wife found a new channel, and on the Fire Stick. She also has the Fire Stick, my HD home run, that gives her local channels throughout from my TV antenna here. An IMDb channel. And IMDb TV is what they call it. They have movies, and they have the first season of Night Gallery. They have the second season of Quantum Leap. They have so many good television and so many movies there, and it's just a matter of they do have commercials in them, but it's still. She was not. As a matter of fact, my wife is down there right now watching a Night Gallery episode, saying, there's so many episodes I haven't seen. I said, I got the first set in the DVD right here, honey, the first season. So, and the pilot movie. But,
so many movies on disc that when I actually want to take some time out to watch a movie, it takes me forever to pick something. There's something cool about something already being programmed for you on television, whether it's on Turner Classic Movies, TMC, you know, the Movie Channel, or AMC, or any of those. There's something magical about that.
It's true. That's true.
Do you find that there's certain movies you can't walk away from if you happen to see it?
I do. If there's a movie that's on when I'm flipping through channels, my TV gets stuck there. Yeah. Watergate? What was that? All the President's Men? What about Watergate? Actually, that one catches me every time. Then there's some others that do that as well. It's like your remote knows, hey, you're not moving. You know?
Yeah.
My battery's going to sleep. And
like
you're right.
The other day, my cousin Vinny popped on. I just dropped everything. Oh. And went, I got to.
Yeah. And you just lose an hour that you didn't know you were going to spend there. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love that. Yeah. Marissa Tomei and her relationship with Pesci was just incredible. It was great.
Yep.
And of course, Fred Gwynn, we just lost recently, was in it.
Yes. Yeah. He was just such a talent that finally got to do something besides Herman Munster. So that was cool.
All right, my man.
Yeah, and he was so good at Herman Munster. I know we're getting ready to kick off here, but you know, I've seen two or three other remakes of the Munsters without him, and none of them even hold my interest for 5 minutes. It just, he made that character, and no one ever can live up to it. That's all I have to say.
That's true, and for the same reason, I really have a hard time with the Addams Family movies. I got to have John Astin. I've got to have Ted Cassidy. I've got to have Jackie Coogan.
Yeah.
I got to have Carolyn Jones. Oh, I wanted Carolyn Jones for the longest time.
Yeah, those little tight-waisted black dresses she wore, wow. Yep.
Of course, now I'd take a shovel, so that's out. But
I did enjoy seeing her in that one episode of Kolchak where she was, the license, driver's license board or something like that. That was kind of fun to see her there.
She was in a few things, including an early Elvis Presley movie, King Creole, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, very young and very early in her career. But a teen, I believe.
But we're not. So, with that being said, maybe we should bring another guy in who's not so young anymore, Mr. James Durante, to wish everybody a wonderful good night.
Good night, folks.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
There, girl.